name is Brett of Media Affairs for ICANN. Like to welcome you to this, we're not really calling it a news conference, but an on-the-record news briefing, the intent of which is to give all you journalists who are online and on the phone some background information, whatever you need. Again, it is on the record, so feel free to quote away if you wish to do a story. Allow me to introduce our two primary respondents, Kurt Pritz, our Senior Vice President at ICANN, Akram Atala, our new Chief Operating Officer. Gentlemen, let me just start by the question that's coming at me from so many journalists who are here. What are we looking at tomorrow when the board meets as regards GTLDs?
Well, thank you, and thank you, everybody that's here in person and on the phone for taking time to discuss this. For me, it's a very interesting topic, of course. So the board has spent the last year and a half analyzing public comment and the issues associated with the launch of new top-level domains, and very specifically dived into the issues that have been raised by the community. That continues this week, that guidebook, the guide for those who want to apply for a new top-level domain, has been published in a proposed final form. And there's been a public comment forum open leading up to this meeting and during this meeting that the public is using to voice comments to the board and use as a discussion forum for the rest of the community. The board is actively monitoring that dialogue and those comments, and we'll use those comments right up until the board meeting to have a discussion at the board meeting on Friday and determine next steps for the new TLD program and determine what are the prerequisites for launching it.
Kurt, is it an oversimplification to say that the board will be considering the manner and the timing of a launch rather than whether or not GTLDs are going to happen? It's a given that they're going to happen, or is that an oversimplification?
Yeah, so ICANN is a complicated place, so simplifications are dangerous, and the board has a wide range of options open to it. And, we'll determine the prerequisites for launch, and those prerequisites will have to be satisfied before the process is launched.
And can you tell us any market differences in the latest, most recent draft of the applicant guidebook between the current one and those in the past?
So the current version of the guidebook really addresses refinements to the process. So we continue to analyze comment and continue to make accommodations where that those accommodations are indicated. So there's more protections for geographical names or names protected by treaty organizations. There's more malicious conduct mitigation measures through refined background checks. Processes are detailed more, so applicants have more certainty about what their requirements are and how they can pass the process. So I would term the changes to the guidebook to be refinements, improvements suggested by the community, and efforts to provide more clarity for those who want to apply.
Question from an online journalist online. The decision to move forward with new GTLDs was taken over 2 years ago. Why has it taken so long to get to this point?
Well, I think a feature and a bug of the ICANN system is that we want to ensure that we've addressed public comment. We have this bottom-up multi-stakeholder model, and we want to ensure that all those who are interested in participating in making internet policy or implementing that policy get to be heard. And even though there are some latecomers to the process, those latecomers bring real value and real improvements, and it doesn't make sense for ICANN to ignore valuable comments like that. So it's not like a regulatory agency where a comment is cut off at a certain period of time. and a decision's made, but rather ICANN seeks to listen to the whole community and make improvements.
Can you outline the steps that ICANN has taken to prep for the launch of new GTLDs?
Sure. Do you want to take that one, Akram?
Sure. This is Akram Atala. Thank you very much for coming here and for listening on to this interview. ICANN has done a lot of work both on the GTLD, both on the DAG as well as in operations to prepare for this. We have done a lot of work on getting the systems ready to be able to accept applications, both on in the online system as well as with the planning and the processes put in place to get the applications processed and then get all of the different aspects of the DAG implemented. Our operational readiness is in lockstep with the DAG, and we will make sure that the launch of the DAG happens with as soon as ICANN board the votes on that to take place.
What has happened this week at this meeting with regards to new GTLDs and their potential launch?
So lots. We've had several sessions on new GTLDs that where the members of the ICANN and internet communities came to the microphone and made several points. We had one session to discuss the so-called overarching issues. These overarching issues were raised after the first version of the guidebook was published, as you pointed out. Or was pointed out in the question some time ago, and concerned that trademark protections, mitigation of malicious conduct measures, economic studies, and the stability of the root zone were all considered in the guidebook. And in that interim, this community came together and developed solutions for all those issues, or work was done on all those issues, and through the community, many of those issues we think are solved or very, very, very close to being solved. So we had a session on those overarching issues to determine what, if any, issues were outstanding or additional improvements could be made. On some other issues, working groups met on other issues with the guidebook having to do with making IDNs more usable. So improvements could be made there in the way new GTLDs and especially IDNs operate when they are launched in the new GTLD process. And so I think that and then finally what we see is, the strong voices coming up that wish to use this opportunity as we get close to launching to move the guidebook. So rather than comment really sort of diminishing towards the end to a whimper and then the guidebook being launched, we see it instead it raising to a crescendo as all the parties who have legitimate interest and are acting very rationally seek to press their interests and needs just before the guidebook is approved and launched.
Once the board signs off on new GTLD launch, effectively, when are we going to see new GTLDs online?
The process is actually pretty lengthy, and the way that the process is laid out, applications will start to get accepted about 4 to 5 months after the decision is made so that we can bring the operations online and the acceptance of the application starts. After that, there is a period where the applications will stop being accepted and start being processed. So we expect, if everything goes well, about 9 months later to see the 9 months about 9 months after the application window opens to start seeing new GTLDs approved.
Any best guess as to the initial number of applicants once the process, the application process, is opened up?
I wouldn't want to guess on that. I don't know if Kurt wants to take a guess at that number.
So what we've said in public before is about 500 plus or minus 400. And so seeking to indicate the uncertainty associated with the number of applications we're going to get. A year or so ago, we did some preliminary studies into the marketplace and thought there might be 200 applications from those, you know, within the existing DNS community without considering brand holders or IDNs. You know, the economy has gone in all different directions since then, so the environment's become very uncertain. I don't know the URLs, but there's a couple domains out there that list the numbers of applications that have been made, the number of entities that have made public that they intend to file for applications, and the list is about 135 now or something like that of publicly known ones.
We've got a request for clarification on one of your earlier answers here, Kurt. Can you please repeat, clarify, if you know, on what the board will be voting tomorrow?
The board has put new GTLDs on its agenda and to consider the proposed applicant guidebook. The board will take into account all the comments it's heard throughout the process, but most importantly, since the publication of the most recent version of the guidebook, and make a determination as to what prerequisites need to be satisfied before the guidebook can be approved and the process launched.
And what happens if the board does not approve the launch of new GTLDs tomorrow?
Then we'll set about satisfying the prerequisites that the board sets out.
Will you be able to apply for in languages other than English for new GTLDs?
Yes, you will be able to apply for internationalized domain names or IDNs. The language of the application and the contract is English, although translation services will be available to an extent. The application will be in English, but you can apply for an IDN.
And what role, if any, will DNSSEC play with new GTLDs?
So signing the TLD zone is a technical requirement for getting a new TLD. So the applicant guidebook lays out a series of technical, operational, and financial questions for applicants to answer. One of those questions, requires the applicant to have a plan for signing their zone.
Juan, if you're still on the phone, I don't mean to be dominating this with online questions. Do you have any question, Juan? I'll defer to you if you've got anything.
No, not at this point. I guess on the timing. So the meeting ends when, and so the vote will be taken when specifically tomorrow.
We have Dan Halloran off on stage right looking up the timing of the board meeting.
We'll look that up, Juan, and come back to it for you. Kev, anybody in the room got a question?
Will you be announcing the results of the vote and which way you're going?
Yeah, Juan, as I've explained to a number of journalists, the board meeting is actually public. And you will be able to monitor that remotely, so you will be able to actually hear what's going on in the board meeting in real time. We will also be posting some material on the press page on ICANN's website, ICANN/press, ICANN.org/press, and you'll be able to get additional information there. And there's also some background material on new GTLDs that may be helpful. Sorry, Kev, go ahead.
Okay.
Hi, guys. I'm Kevin Murphy. I'm a freelance. There's been a few calls this week here at the meeting and in some of the comments that are coming in. asking for a phased process with non-controversial TLDs being approved first. I was just wondering how likely that is and how feasible that is.
So we look at we meaning the big ICANN community, not just ICANN staff. You know, look at all suggestions and then try to test them. And so, given that suggestion, if we wanted to try to meter the process in that way, we would try to define what a non-controversial string is. At first blush, it's difficult because one man's non-controversial string raises the ire of another. But we would encourage discussion around possible implementation models of that. There's also been other discussion of how to meter the process or make small batches in the beginning. I will say one of the lessons learned out of the STLD round was that it was very difficult to have a round in which just a certain type of TLD was allowed to apply. That raised significant complexities in the process and areas of subjectiveness.
Juan, if you're still online, the board meeting, coming back to you with the time, the board meeting starts at 10:30 tomorrow, and that's Eastern U.S., Colombian time. So you'll have to look up the time zone translation. Kurt, there's been a lot of concern expressed about by trademark groups about the issues specifically surrounding trademark intellectual property protections. How have you addressed this?
I think I'll bet dimes to nickels the questioner knows quite a bit about this, but I'll go through some of the background anyway. That issue was raised after ICANN published the first version of the guidebook. That in fact the approved policy called out specifically that no specific rights protection mechanisms should be required of all TLDs. But responding to public comment, ICANN convened a group of intellectual property experts within the ICANN community to develop a set of rights protection mechanisms. And they worked really hard and developed a very concrete, reasonable product, a suite of intellectual property protections that are now in the agreement. That product was then tested to see if it was in line with the policy recommendations when it was considered by a working group of GNSO constituencies. So we have developed a suite of intellectual property protection mechanisms that are in the guidebook. There's a lot of debate still, though, about aspects of those property protection mechanisms, the timing of them, certain ways they're implemented, and whether they will result in the realization, whether they'll result in the sort of protections envisioned when they developed. There's a question as to the effectiveness of those property protection mechanisms, because until we launch the process, we will not know whether how effective they are. And then finally, in testing their effectiveness, I think the largest area of discussion here has been around defensive registrations and the amount brand holders will have to invest in making multiple registrations across top level domains. There's that discussion goes from one side. Multiply the number of defensive registrations now by the number of new top-level domains, and you get to a pretty big number. And on the other side, that's mitigated by the fact that defensive registrations are only made in the very largest registries. So will new top-level domains result in actual defensive registrations is uncertain. And so that's the span of discussion that's occurring right now.
How did you come up with the $185,000 application fee? What's the background on that number?
Did you want to tell, or I can tell?
No, go ahead.
Okay, sorry.
You have the breakdown.
So It's a cost recovery model, and it has three aspects to it. One is how much is it going to cost to evaluate the applications. So we took all of the panels. I think there's six evaluation panels in the initial evaluation. So paying all of those evaluation panels. And then there's, you know, potential for extended review. There's potential for administration of other processes after that, such as dispute resolution and, you know, and burdening that. So we added all those costs together. still somewhat speculative because we haven't done that yet. But pretty much those costs add up, to, you know, flat up against our budget. And then there's two other aspects of the fee. One is a recovery of development costs that it was thought that existing registrants should not have to pay for the development of new TLDs when, you know, others might benefit from that. So we're going to recover the development costs at the rate of $26,000 per application. $25,000 until those costs are recovered. And then finally, there's so-called risk costs of $60,000 per application. Not, they're not exactly risk costs. What we did is we hired a competent insurer, Willis, to undertake a study with us where we identified all of the low probability, high value bad things that could happen. And calculated the value of those, and that came out to $60,000. So a very low probability in each application of a lawsuit resulting, a low probability of a security breach, a low probability, very low probabilities times high cost, added those together. So those are costs that are actually expected. You know, we won't know for, you know, 2-3 years whether, you know, whether we were on with those cost calculations or not. But it, so at the end of the day, it's a cost recovery model, and it's pretty much calculated down to a break even without cushion beyond that.
And this is from me, not the questioners. By way of clarification, is it fair to say that it's revenue neutral?
Yeah, cost recovery is synonymous with revenue neutral to me.
Can you basically give us an overview on what's happened this week here in Cartagena on the morality and public order issue and how that will work?
Yes, I can. and I hope I can do it accurately. There was a group convened that I think is another success of the ICANN model. So, you know, new GTLDs, this whole effort has just proved up, I think, the value of the ICANN model. We convened several working groups, such as that IRT working group that created an STI, and I could just start spouting acronyms, but a number of individuals that teamed together to form remarkable products. So similarly, and somewhat esoterically, we convened this REC6 CWG. So it's meant to consider the morality and public order objection and dispute resolution process. It's a significant victory, and it was across different SOs, populated across different SOs and ACs. So participation by the GAC, ALAC, the GNSO. So sort of a groundbreaking effort that is a template for how we're going to work together on complex cross-supporting organization and advisory committee issues going forward. All that as preamble, they developed a number of recommendations and furnished it in a report. ICANN took that report in, implemented a number of the recommendations, had questions about others, submitted clarifying questions to that group. Here in Cartagena, staff, ICANN staff, ICANN board, and the working group members met twice in face-to-face meetings to ensure we had common understanding of the issues and at least put on the table some compromise positions for consideration by the board. So I think it's you know, another example of the ICANN model working.
So many of the issues that ICANN deals with are transparent to the public, IPv6, for instance. Give us a broad, if you will, this is a big picture question, give us a broad feel for how this is going to affect the Internet. How would you characterize this change once GTLD application process is open, the launch has begun, they start appearing online. Give us an overview perspective, if you would.
So, ICANN's mission is to encourage competition and choice in the domain name space while ensuring the stability and security of the root zone and the rest of the domain name system. So everybody has an opinion. Everybody has an opinion on this. I see innovation that is unpredictable. Some have shared business models with me that I think will bring great benefit, but by and large, we don't know the innovation we're going to see. I think we're going to see benefits to consumers through lower prices, more service. I think we're going to see the creation of many, many small businesses as the internet is able to connect those who provide services with customers in a way that can't be done in the current internet structure. You know, personally, I see a safer DNS environment where brand holders can actually better protect their brands, either through registration at the top level or using the trademark protection mechanisms, and that the value of cyber-squatted domains diminishes as more and more TLDs are put in place and the population of registrations is spread out across more TLDs. So I see benefits to users through lower choices. I see new services that cannot be predicted now. You know, who would guess that Facebook or Twitter or those services would bring the value they have? I see a safer environment for trademark holders and less malicious conduct. And I forgot the last thing I said, but it was really good.
We've got a question from Monica Emmert in Germany. What is the compromise on incitement to political discrimination between board and Rec 6WG? Which I assume means something to you. It means nothing to me.
Yeah, so could you read it again?
Yeah, I can. What is the compromise on incitement to political discrimination between the board and Rec 6WG?
What is the compromise? Is that the first three words?
Yeah.
Because there's so many acronyms, you know, we speak in ICANN Arcania sometime, but I sought to answer that question before, but used a different set of words. So this is the group that this REC 6 working group, recommendation 6 is the GNSO recommendation that focused on morality and public order objections, and that certain domain names shouldn't be registered. And so that working group issued a report. Some recommendations were adopted quickly into the guidebook, and there were questions on others. And that board, the board and that working group met during this meeting to develop sets of compromises that are being considered and will continue to be considered until the guidebook's final. So a very good set of meetings between the board and the rest of the community, and you know, a lot of work to promote joint understanding of those issues.
How would you characterize interest in the international arena to new GTLDs and their potential launch?
I don't know if we can actually gauge the interest before the launch, but definitely the opportunity is there. I think that the new GTLD program provides an opportunity for international participation that in a market that was mostly concentrated in the North American region. So.
We've got no other questions online. Juan, if you're still on the phone, if you have a question, that's cool. Or Kev, you got one? Go ahead, Kev.
Okay, I'll take a risk on this one. The chairs of the board and the GAC discussed on Tuesday having a meeting, possibly one or two days next year, to resolve their differences. Is that happening?
So we're going to.
Has that been scheduled?
Yeah, so we're going to find out. Certainly, there seemed to be at that meeting an agreement that Both the board and the GAC were amenable to that. I think we should look to the GAC communique that's coming out any minute now. I don't know. Is the GAC communique out yet? Yeah, so it's coming out very shortly, and I think that would probably address it, and I think the board too will address it in its meeting. So,
Juan, are you still online? Do you have any questions? I keep feeling like I'm forgetting about you. Maybe he got offline. Again, let me say that the board meeting itself will be webcast tomorrow, so. People can cover this in real time. We'll also get up very quickly on the press portion of the ICANN website, the audio stream, and eventually the video stream of the board actions tomorrow. So you should have information on this fairly quickly. I'd like to thank everybody for taking part in this news briefing. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.